Chat of the Wild is a part of the Greenlit Podcast Network. To find out more information, as well as other great shows, go to greenlitpodcast.com. Hello, welcome to Chat of the Wild. In this season, we're playing through The Legend of Zelda, The Phantom Hourglass. In our last episode, we made it to the ghost ship that we were searching for so long. And now we have a new goal, apparently, and that is to go back again to the place that we've been going back to, but this time, stronger.
Is it a new goal, or is it just a goal at this point?
It's new. We it's wanted new. To save Tetra. Well, no, the goal is still save Tetra. I don't know how much we care about saving the world from cosmic evil.
Just right.
The sub-goal is to fight this creature named Bellum, who we didn't see. We've only seen a drawing that Oshis held up to our face that he happens to keep with him at all times. Then again, he's magic, right? That's the thing. Like, he's like Loki. He'll just like, just pop this thing out here.
Didn't do it as well as Nico did at the beginning, though.
No. Who can match Nico's excellence in that?
I don't know.
So we were told to go talk to Zauz is his name.
I thought we were going to go see the Batman villain. I got real excited, too, for a second.
I had spoken with him earlier, and he said, "You're not ready yet." I speak with him again, and he says, "Okay, you're ready."
That's what
you're
everyone
still not ready
in this game
yet.
Says.
He explains to us that, you know, he's familiar with the sword they're looking for, the Spirit Sword, and this is the thing that they need to defeat Bellum. And he's just like, "Yes, I have made this sword before." And then we're like, "All right, can we have it?" And he's just like, "No, I don't have it." And he doesn't explain. He doesn't explain why he doesn't have it anymore. He says that he's done it before, but he doesn't have it anymore. Like, what happened there? Maybe we'll find a dead body somewhere that has it. We get dual swords afterwards. Probably not.
He sold it at a garage sale. We know he did.
Yes.
We don't have enough styluses for two swords.
I got plenty of styluses.
Well, I mean, this game doesn't support...
You want to talk stylus game?
This game doesn't support enough styluses for two swords.
I've had to switch to one of my fatter styluses, which is actually kind of cool because it is a classic Phantom Hourglass promo stylus. It's got a little Phantom Hourglass thing on there. It was unintentional, honestly. I was just looking through my stuff where I'm like, I know I have bigger styluses because I just can't do it with that tiny thing that's included in there.
I'm using a Wii U one right now.
Okay, that's not bad. I mean, that's a bit bigger.
Mm.
This scene reminds me of Kill Bill when he pawns the Hattori Hanzo sword, and they're like, "You pawned an original Hattori Hanzo sword." It's like
it was priceless.
It's like, "You pawned the legendary phantom sword that can slay the dark god that's terrorizing the ocean." Okay,
yeah,
got me $250 for it here. Yeah, when you said pawn shop, immediately Bud popped into my head. I was like, "Oh yeah, Kill Bill." I'm glad you brought that around.
So he explains to us that he needs three precious metals that are located throughout the world. So we have another three things to collect now.
So we got to go fight Vivica A. Fox.
Go on.
She's a robot in Futurama. Lucy Liu and Daryl Hannah.
Okay, all right. Acceptable.
Okay, let's do it.
And so we have to go and find these things. This is our new goal, is to go find these three metals to create the sword. If you look at the back of his shop, he says, like, "You need to take note of this Triforce, this cool Triforce painting that I have in the background. Isn't it awesome?" And they mention about how you're going to need to use this back at the Temple of the Ocean King. And Ciela's like, eventually we go back there and Ciela's just like, "We've already been through this door. I don't understand." And I think we all were like, I mean, we get it. You just got to draw on the door again.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
It's not that complicated.
What? I'm confused.
So we go back to the Temple of the Ocean King and go through all of that stuff again. Did come across some interesting things that will alleviate the tedium and stress of going through this every time. You can get a shortcut that you can lock in a time that you can say, like, I'm going to go to this floor here. And it'll say, like, you have completed all of this stuff in 3 minutes, and you can just lock that. And then if you want, you can go right back to where it was at that time. Or you can try running through it again, get a quicker time, shave some time off of there.
Yeah.
Brian, do you like this because it is like a speedrunning sort of focused thing?
No, I like it because it's when they talked, I said earlier in the season, when they talked about this game and the ability to write on the map, that, like I said, I'd always wanted something like that. And so out in the world, though, it doesn't, the map stuff is I don't, it's not derivative. It's boring. It's stupid. It's things that's like, you have to be told what to write on your map in order for it to work. Here, my notes matter. So if I'm like, depending on the kind of notes I want to take, they aren't notes or puzzles built around my notes. They're how, as good of notes as I take matters to how quickly I can get back to a floor, reacquaint myself with it, move through the floor, and, you know, like, I got through the first three floors with more time than I started this time through. So, yeah, it I don't know, it's not really a speedrunning thing, it's just this is what I wanted the game to be, was notes that I take having an impact on how I play the game.
Maybe I'm being a hypocrite if they phrase this as being like, you're time traveling, and every time you do it, time resets, and it'll be like, whoa, it's blowing my mind.
Yeah, I held all the Majora's Mask things to myself last time, or a couple of weeks ago, or whatever it was.
I cannot put these are not on the same level, man.
Oh,
these are
no,
not
they're not
on the same level.
No, they're not.
And like, Majora's Mask, like, the whole appeal of the cycle is that you're seeing it from different angles and perspectives, seeing things play out differently. This, there's some, you know, you get new shortcuts with new equipment, but I feel like it's not a substantive change. I think,
no.
I was thinking about it, and it kind of boils down to this section, and like, a lot of this game is almost horror game-like. You're going through and you're trying to find safe spots, and you're dealing with unkillable enemies that are way stronger than you.
Yeah.
And with that, there's like a thin line between, you know, fun and danger and suspense and straight up tedium. And a lot of the times it feels like straight up tedium. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we've kind of gone through these first few levels before, and now we can skip them. But when we go in, they introduce new enemies that, like, just make the first area a little bit harder.
Yeah.
But what those areas needed wasn't to be more difficult. It was to have new things to interact with.
I was like, they should have introduced the harder enemies later. Like, they're like, oh, now the enemies, there's new harder enemies on this floor where there weren't before. That, I don't, no. No, yeah. just keep it the same.
And if they had introduced, you know, harder enemies, but there's also new shortcuts or new ways you can interact with the environment, that's one thing. But it's just, hey, here's this room you already went through, and it's more annoying now. You have to follow this guy around to get your key back because he picked it up.
Yeah, so we get through a lot of that stuff, and we write the Triforce on there. We go to a new area. We get a new,
You write the Triforce on there after you look it up, because it's like you have to do it all in one stroke, and it shows you where to start, but it's one of those puzzles of don't retrace the line that you've drawn sort of logic puzzles. So if you don't, like, I didn't realize that I wasn't allowed to, like, lift my pen or something. I was just drawing a Triforce, apparently,
yeah,
you had to do it
I don't know. I picked it up. Maybe I've done enough of those kind of puzzles. My brain immediately just drew it out in my head.
I just didn't know that's what they wanted from me. Like, it had to be all in one stroke, and I was like, what is this? What's happening? Like, oh no, do it all at once. Fine. Sure.
After we go through there, we've got a new set of floors to go through, and now we're introduced to loud floors, where if you walk on them too too fast. Mm-hmm. They make these loud chimes that attract people. You can actually see it on your map. It'll show, like, I believe a lightning bolt when you make a noise.
Yeah.
But if you go slow, it's quiet enough that they won't hear it.
And if they're not close to you, they also won't hear it. But yeah.
Yes. I don't know. Like, setting aside the fact that when I realized I had to do more floors, I immediately groaned. I liked some of the puzzles that they had in here in the end. Like, looking back on it, I'm like, okay, let's actually critique the quality of the puzzles here. Let's set aside my frustration of how much time I've spent on this and my hand cramping, touching the little screen and
how
all
much
that.
I've sat in a corner waiting for the right pattern of guys walking around to, like, match up.
Yep.
Because I've gotten to the original one where we have to put the three triangles on those pedestals. I've gotten it to where I can pretty much not stop and wait. Like, I know their timing, and I go, okay, if I go do this part of it, by the time I'm done, they will be here and I can get through. But I did like how these three floors interact together. You have to, you deal with them like they were a dungeon, like, instead of just one floor at a time, now move on to the next floor, now move on to the next floor. They all had things that had to go back and forth between them, so. Yeah.
I think in this next set of floors, I think the core puzzle that we have to deal with that I think is worth calling out is with the crystal puzzles, where you get the different shapes, where we have three different shapes that we have to do in a certain order. And, you know, you do one that opens up the area that gives you access to the next one, that gives you access to the next one. Mm-hmm. You work up and down this here. We've got, like, an invisible bridge that they go across, which I actually kind of like the way that you just see the guy walk across it. And it's just sort of like, okay, that's cool. That's a cool way to note that off.
Bring your map down, draw a little, you know, lines.
Just draw a line across
to where that is.
I just winged it. I just walked across. I was like, oh, it's in the middle, more or less. Yeah.
I think if you're moving quickly up and down it, Link won't automatically jump. So you don't have to worry about him, like, accidentally doing it. If you're doing it at a right angle where he's still, like, not a right angle, but, like, at an actual, like, sort of angle against it, that he won't actually jump off. And eventually you can just sort of, like, rub against the invisible wall until you're through it. When we also come across, what are these things? They're wizrobes. We come across wizrobes in here too. That they say, like, oh, something evil is in here, but you can't see it. And it's a case of, I believe they act like booze.
Yep.
If you're like looking at them, they don't. Yeah, they don't show up. But if you turn around, they follow you.
Or just start shooting arrows that way.
Right. Just look at your map. It shows them as skulls on there. Just shoot an arrow in that direction. You'll take them out easily. And they give you, like, an extra 15 or 30 seconds of sand.
Oh, yeah, that's
too,
right.
Which is nice.
But if they hit you, they give you 30, but if they hit you, they take 15.
Ooh.
Got it. But yeah, once we get those three crystals, once we get all the way through, the final door to get through needs all three crystals. So you kind of have to then go backwards and grab the first one that you did, bring that all the way back, then the second one, then the last one, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And circle all the way back around. That I thought was a fun use of that. I thought it was like, okay, that's a smart way to lay all this stuff out. I'm still just tired of walking through all of this stuff and dragging my stylus through all of this, but I'll give you that. It was a good puzzle. So we go through all of that stuff. We get to the end. We get a new map. We have the southeast quadrant unlocked now. So we can go back south and then go through there. And this gives us access to where the Gorons are going to live. Before we go and do that, though, we're going to take a quick break. And when we get back, we're going to meet those big old guys.
Hoot hoot, everyone, and whatnot. It's Chat of the Wild. We're going to talk about our Patreon, because we are actually putting together some episodes reviewing the Legend of Zelda cartoon series.
You're welcome.
You're welcome. That's right. Because we're learning through making this deep dive into the cartoon show that you should not watch it. It's bad for many various reasons. And instead, you should subscribe to our Patreon. Support us over at patreon.com/chatofthewild, and we will tell you every reason why this is the worst thing ever. And you can hear it that way, because it's bad. It's bad, but yeah.
So all patrons, it's at least $1 or more a month will get you early access to that stuff, which other listeners, non-patrons, will have to wait until next year for those to air at some point with with ads, with all that extra stuff. Patrons don't have to listen to all those that extra fluff in between all of that stuff too.
Jeremy puts them up on our Patreon page as soon as he's done editing them, so you can just you have access to them right then. So, yeah. So head on over there. You know, throw us a dollar or more a month. We'd really appreciate it. Also, I would like to at least say that for those of you who love Celeste, over on the Speedrun podcast that I've been working on, Need for Speedrunning. We just did an episode about Celeste, which is a fantastic game that I love very, very much. In fact, all four of us loved it very, very, very much and had lots and lots and lots of things to say about it. We also did a quick recap of the recent Flame Fatale's GDQ event, the all-women speedrunning charity event benefiting Malala Fund. So it's on all the favorite podcast things that get podcasts to your ears. Go check out Need for Speedrunning.
Also, just a reminder, on our Patreon, subscribers get access to monthly episodes called Side Quest, where we just talk about some other games that we've been playing that aren't necessarily Zelda-related. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they are, sometimes they aren't. But you do that. You also get a shout-out whenever you sign up, that whenever we do these in-between promo episodes, we'll talk about you. We'll talk about the things you like about Zelda, your favorite items, your favorite games, why you like them, all that fun stuff. You just fill out a little form, and then we talk about it. It's great. It's a lot of fun.
That's right. Always a bundle of fun over here at the Chat of the Wild Patreon page. Yeah, you come on, hang out in our Discord with all the other patrons and peoples. And yeah, we love Zelda, and we love you. And here are some other people we love who are part of our Greenlit Podcast Network.
Hello, my name is Jonathan Dunn, and I'm inviting you to listen to Our 3 Cents, a weekly podcast where myself and two of my very best gaming chums are counting down our top 100 favourite video games of all time. For all the episodes and information, check out our website, www.our3cents.co.uk.
Fans of video games, history, or video game history will definitely want to listen to Retronauts. Each week, Bob Mackey and myself, that's Jeremy Parrish, dive into the stories behind the greatest games of the past and the history behind the hits of today. Check us out every Monday on the Greenlit Podcast Network.
Let's go travel around. You know, there's still some things that you can go and do some optional stuff if you want. We don't have anything to bring up on this episode yet because we doubled up on them, so we haven't done anything else since the last episode other than the mainline stuff. Did we have any problems with Jolene interrupting our travels?
No, I think it was good on Jolene. I was a bit surprised by the lack of fanfare, or maybe I should say like lack of rigmarole around getting this new section. We didn't have to close our DS or, you know, blow into the microphone or anything crazy. We just
gotta walk into the new area.
Yeah.
I hope this isn't a sign that they don't have anything else up their sleeve, you know? Like, did we already get all of the quirky things that they're gonna do? We do have to use our microphone a bit on this next island, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I would say this next dungeon is indication that they haven't run out of ideas, but
sure, yeah. Did you guys go to any of the other new optional islands? I went straight to the Goron one.
Pretty much. I mean, I've been collecting treasure, you know, salvaging stuff, making sure I get all of those, which a lot of them are boat parts. So yeah, that. But there's also, in addition to Jolene, there are other pirate marauder guys out there, mm-hmm. and I got caught by some of them, and they drop the Zora scale Goron Amber style things when you beat them. So, yeah, I ran into them once. I ran into Jolene a couple times, and yeah.
I'm also seeing, apparently, you can come across the what they call the Ho-Ho tribe, and one of the boats that you can do, and those are the guys in Wind Waker that go, Ho!
Yay!
And apparently, I had said in the last episode, sell all of your treasure. Apparently, they will give you more money for specific things at certain times.
Okay.
Hmm.
So, I guess...
So, this is the telescope guy?
I wanted
guy?
All that money, though. Yes.
Okay.
But there's a bunch of them on a single boat.
They're all just going, just staring off a different side yep. of the boat? Yes.
Yep.
All right. Too bad they don't have a voice clip.
I don't necessarily know that. I hadn't talked to him, but...
No. I'm going to go ahead and assume
not.
They don't.
No. Let's see. Yeah, there's some more optional stuff on here, but honestly, I think we're going to cover it in the next episode.
Okay.
And this one, we're kind of just going to go forward and go talk to the eggs. We're going to go talk to the Gorons.
And fight Gordon. Some sea monsters.
Yeah, we're going to fight sea monsters on our way there. I mean, after doing the another Temple of the Ocean King segment, I mean, we covered it pretty quick, but that was that's a big chunk of this episode. So I went pretty much right to the Goron Island.
Sure. Yeah, while we're on our way there, we do get stopped in a similar way to before we fought that, like, plant creature. This time we're fighting a Death Stranding whale jumping out of the water and floating around us. It's got a bunch of eyeballs on the side,
mm-hmm.
and it'll fire electric balls and also weird eyeball enemies.
Yes.
And you can just hit either of them with your cannon.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed this one more than the first one that was just going back and forth.
Because I didn't have to steer.
Yay.
I didn't have to tell it where to go. I just did it myself.
Exactly.
Yeah, I like that you didn't have to steer. And I thought the enemy was just more interesting. Like, it's straightforward, shoot the eyes on the side of it. But it at least had cool movement and, like, you know, flipped around. So you, like, spun around so it was hard to shoot the eyes. Like,
mm-hmm. Which were already hard to shoot anyway.
Yeah.
So, when we get to the Goron Island... There's a little shop that you can go there, and if you need a potion or some arrows, maybe you want to spend it there. They also have a bomb chew, but you can't do anything with it.
Spoilers.
I found this interesting because it reminds me of, like, bomb chew has constantly been just an optional thing.
Uh-huh.
Like, I'm trying to think, like, was
the cool
there any
in theory.
Game... But well, yeah, because Ocarina and Majora's Mask, the way that those worked is they were just, they had a mind of their own.
Mm-hmm.
You would sort of set them down and they would just kind of swirl around and bump onto the geometry and go in all different directions.
Mm-hmm.
And then the only other time we had them were in the Oracle games as optional ones. I don't think they were in Minish Cap, right?
As a response to... the fact that they were in the 64 games.
Yes, but just them, like, putting whatever they could in there.
I don't... No, we didn't get anything like that in Minish, no.
And
so,
and then...
I believe this...
Twilight Princess had those weird crawly ones that I don't think I ever bought. Like, there was, like, a third bomb option.
Those are technically bomb chews, quote-unquote.
They serve the same purpose.
Right.
Yeah. But, again, optional. This is going to be a integral weapon that we are going to use going forward.
Mm-hmm.
We'll talk a bit more about it later, but yeah, they do tease you with it. They're just like, yeah, we have bomb chases. Other times there will just be nothing there. It will just be like, we don't have anything in stock right now.
The same thing.
Whatever
bombs
reason.
Earlier. Bombs and arrows. The same
sure,
thing.
Sure. Okay. Fair.
It's also a Zelda thing. It happens a lot where, like, you can't have that yet.
Mm-hmm. It's annoying. You don't have a proper bag for that. We're like, let me just hold it in my hand.
Go find the bow.
I got this CVS bag. Let me just put it in this with my gasoline.
There's a hole at the bottom, but it'll be fine. I tied it up.
Mm-hmm. So, on Goron Island, surprise, surprise, there's a lot of Gorons.
Yeah.
I only thought when we were going about this, because I was trying to remember, and again, I don't think I've played this far because I don't remember this, but in Twilight Princess, we went to Gerudo Desert and we did not meet a Gerudo.
Right.
And so I was like, there is a chance they just called it Goron Island because they were doing the thing like in Breath of the Wild. They have a lot of islands and areas named after creatures and people, but they have nothing to actually do with them.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't know if maybe, you know, there was a chance that
Lineback Island's here. Not in an ocean. He's part of a marshland. So there you go, Lineback. Go sail around muck.
Lineback seems pretty swampy.
Yeah, you know what? Here, that fits, I guess.
You go and talk to all the Gorons. You should talk to all the Gorons.
Yes.
Because you're going to have to talk to all the Gorons eventually.
Mm. One
and
of them
does
say,
if you do it now, it's easier.
Yeah.
Hey, our chief is obsessed with family. So,
The first one is like, hey, just so you know, you got to meet the whole squad. Got to meet the whole squad.
It's just all part of it. It has been a regular thing with Gorons that they are very focused on brotherhood, let's just say. That is the most important thing to them, is to, like, you need to prove that you're going to be there for us, and that's all it really takes. Like, we'll call you an other at a certain point, but once you do whatever our random task is for this game,
right,
you are now a Goron just like us.
This one
is really
just,
all it takes.
You know, go hang out with my nephew. My grandma's over there. She's making sauce. Go taste her sauce and listen to her stories for a little bit. And then go down to the bottom and you'll see Tony. Tony's down there. He's weird. He likes ships. But, you know, go talk to Tony. Yeah, it's like, go see all these people.
It's kind of endearing in a way, because it's like they're all like, hey, we don't take too kindly to strangers around here, so you shouldn't be a stranger anymore. Like, come see my family.
Yeah, I do love that. As soon as I realized that, well, another thing that I noticed where I was like, all right, I'm taking notes of this, are the rocks in people's houses.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as I saw that, I was like, all right, gonna write these numbers down, because there's gonna be something about this.
I don't know if we want to get into it later, but I just want to talk about the terrifying implications of Goron Island.
Go ahead.
So, like, I went to people's houses, there's all these rocks, and it's like, okay, that makes sense. Like, don't Gorons like eat rocks or something? And I'm like,
yes,
you have an island. Like, this tiny island of Gorons, and they eat rocks. Like, you can't grow more rocks.
Like, no, you can grow rocks. You can grow rocks. In this world, they do grow rocks. In Zelda, it has been known that they do grow rocks. It is not a finite resource for them.
That's good. Because I was just, like, thinking about these Gorons slowly eating their homeland into oblivion.
So. if we want to get, well, let's see. So in the past, though, I guess the science behind it would have been they lived on a volcano, and that kind of like brought them new rocks regularly.
Right.
Like, that's where they would have overflow on that stuff here. They don't have a volcano on this island that we've seen. So not sure, but you know, I don't think you have. I've never viewed it that way, because they have always sort of phrased it as they can create new rocks. They can create sort of gardens of rocks that give them special, because they don't eat all rocks. There are certain types of rocks that they eat.
They prefer.
Sure. In a pinch, they'll eat some pebbles. You know, if they just need a little snack to get them by until they can find the big rock for a meal, they'll eat some. Just take a handful of sand and just swallow that.
Yeah.
But no, I get where your mind went on that, but I feel like they've kind of talked about it in a way where they do have a sustainable system for that.
My roommate's friend is coming to pick up something in 10 minutes, so I don't know how loud he'll be when he does that, but Just a heads up.
Okay. Yeah, if they get loud and they have to be loud, we can break for a second too. Yeah. That's fine. So, reason that we are told to talk to all of these Gorons is because there's going to be a quiz.
Hope you were taking notes.
Yeah. And I don't know how, like, I probably took this quiz like 6 or 7 times, honestly. Fortunately, there's a couple questions that they rephrase after you do it, because you get to, I believe, like the first 3 questions are the same every time, or not in the same, not in the same order.
Okay.
But they're the same questions.
Okay.
Then you get to a point where he says like, "Oh, you're doing pretty good," and then you have they'll give you kind of different phrasing for a few different questions when you get into there.
Mm-hmm. And you can do 50-50.
One time. You can do 50-50 one time throughout it.
I use it on the last one.
But I had like 1,500 rupees, and they charge you 20 rupees each time you take it. And it was like, you know what? If this is what I'm spending my rupees on, that's fine right now. I'll keep doing this over and over.
I mean, at least it's better than Mega Man Legends. I mean, he's not asking us about some Steve Winwood album or something.
Yeah, I just straight up looked up the answers, because after Mega Man Legends, I'm done with quizzes. I can't do it anymore.
So we go through these, and some of the questions that we get asked are like, how many Gorons are on this island? How many of them are children? How many of them are in the house? How many rocks does this one person have in their house? What is this Goron looking at? What color was this enemy? And he asks you
each one. He points to the spot on the map where they would be. And so if you've got notes there or something like that, you can be like, it's that guy. I've got a line drawing to the ship, so I know he's staring at a ship. Or I've got, you know, there's 6 houses. Make sure you include the Goron chief's house in that list of houses or whatever. But yeah, it's something.
Yes.
Like,
yeah, I got so upset when I got that one where I'm like, that's the one I missed. I know exactly where they were. And it was just like, yeah.
Because I put a star above his house. The other ones, I put a number as I came across them. And so I didn't have his house number. And I was like, there's 5 houses here. So yeah, that was the one I missed.
So one of the other questions are, how many rupees have I given you up to this point? And it's just like, oh my God. And it, like, I got lucky, because I was like, all right,
I didn't get
it's
got
to be an, it was like, it's going to be an even number, because I got 2 greens in a row. And then, like, going through all of that stuff, unfortunately I got it. But, that was annoying. Like,
can we talk about just how annoying it is that the 100 rupees are green,
slightly bigger rupees.
Green rupees. And so when I see them, I don't immediately go, aha, that's a silver rupee, it's worth 100 rupees. I say, there's a 1 rupee at the bottom of the salvage minigame. I don't need to get that. It's 100. It could be 100.
This is extra hilarious, seeing as we come from a culture where all the currency is the same color. So
size.
So when we complete all of his quiz, he then says, like, congratulations, you did it. You can be one of our Gorons as soon as you pay the fee of exactly how many rupees I've been giving you this whole time. I like this. I love the Gorons. They're great, and they're great in here too. When you finish that, he's just like, yeah, you can get our medal. My son knows where it is. Go talk to him. And then when you go
name.
Talk,
here's your new name, Goro. I farted.
And you go and talk to his son, and for whatever reason, he just goes running off somewhere. He's just like, gotta find me. And then you go and wonder.
I had to go ask another kid. I'd be like, what just happened? And he's like, oh, he probably ran to play hide and seek. I was like, oh, okay. All right. I was like, I just blinked and he was gone. Like, I'm out of here. Bye. Will an NPC tell me what just happened, please?
Yeah. He just got done eating a lot of sugar rocks.
Yeah. Rock candy?
Yeah, some rock candy. There we go. That's the joke. You go and chase him on to one side of the island, and then he's just like, you can't catch me. And then he runs to the other side of the island where there was one of the Gorons that was blocking your path. And I love the animation too, where he's like moving side to side and he's got his hands out. Like he's just like a Mido football player or sure. Yeah. And you go and see him there and he's just like, okay, I'm done playing. Let's go up here. And then you go up past there and he's just like, gotta find me again. And then he just disappears. We do get a little maze that we have to go through on here. We got to use bombs. There are bomb flowers. Well, there's flowers that give you items, including bombs, in here.
There are bomb flowers, too.
Oh, yes. There are bomb flowers, too. Yes. Mm-hmm. I got lost because I thought I needed to find him. And I even thought, like, okay, it's going to do that thing where you literally can't go forward and you need to leave. And then when you leave, he's going to do something. So like, I did that and nothing happened. Yeah. And he's like, oh, you obviously need this item here. Here you go. Because there is, and I pieced it together because we saw the bomb chews at the beginning. And I realized like, oh, that's what those little nooks are, or what little holes are for.
You can't get a boomerang in there.
No, you can't get a boomerang. You can't put anything else in there.
Yeah. Coming off of Minish Cap, I thought we were going to shrink and go through those holes whenever I would see them in dungeons.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But no, there is another wall that you can bomb that just isn't cracked.
Yes.
And you just have to think, like, maybe this will be the spot. It doesn't even have, like, some stuff lined up near it to, like, show you something.
There's a symbol on the ground.
Yes. Yeah.
Behind it. Yeah. Behind it, yes.
Right, because there's another symbol to the right that is behind a bombable spot, but this one doesn't have a crack in it. But it's not teaching us anything for the dungeon ahead. There's no spot in which we're going to have to look for these symbols and then know to bomb a wall. It's just annoying. It's just bad.
It's just Phantom Hourglass.
Hey!
One thing that we did hear earlier, if you talk to them, they will say like, oh, we've got one of those shops here. If you ever lose your shield, you should go back to the shop. And I'm like, oh, no, there's going to be like lights.
Yep.
Oh, there's going to be like lights in here, isn't there? Like, that's the thought that went through my head immediately.
Yep.
And these ones, these likes have vacuum powers.
Yes, they do.
And fortunately, you can still take them out with like two bombs or two arrows, maybe three.
I think it's three arrows. I had to do three arrows.
Okay.
I kind of assumed that since they were like did the vacuum thing, that you could throw a bomb in front of them and they would suck it in. But I couldn't get that to work. So
I think bombs have to make contact in this game for them to. Like, I think you have to throw it into something for it to explode on contact. Otherwise, it'll just sit there and do its timer, and nothing really happens. Sometimes.
So when we get into the Goron tipple, it's not long after that we see the kid Goron, and we have to save him. And this introduces
he's like, hi, I'm in trouble.
Yeah. Sorry. Like, he's apologizing to us because like he didn't, you know, he's a kid. He wasn't quite up on how Goron tradition works. We're like, we're good. We're part of the family now.
Yeah.
He was still just like, you're not really a Goron, and that's why he was like not really helping us as well as he should have. And now he's like, I screwed up. I'm sorry.
I think you did the right thing, little guy, because you're going to help us get through this dungeon. So
yeah, like literally we wouldn't be able to get through it
if you were hanging out with quicksand. Us the whole time.
Yeah, there's all this quicksand in here. And as soon as you touch the quicksand, you fall in. It's not like Twilight Princess where you can like roll across it and you'll sink down. It is a pit. You touch it, you fall in immediately.
The first time we see it, it's like there's a switch in the sand. And I didn't realize it was quicksand. I thought it was just sand. Oh. Learned real quick.
I thought it was going to be a thing where we fall down to the floor below. But nope, you just die.
Yeah, just die immediately. We get introduced to Armo statues in this one. In this one, the Armo statues are used primarily to push onto switches. Mm-hmm. But the first few that we find, they are deactivated. But then the ones that come later, they get the spikes out. You got to chuck a bomb at them. Fortunately, they don't do the bouncing around thing and then blow up. They just are like, all right, spike's gone. You can do whatever you want with me.
It's pretty funny, too. You can throw a bomb next to them because they are the ones that will wake up. You can do this because they're deactivated. Mm-hmm. And when they activate, they do the same. They're modeled after the Wind Waker ones because, of course, yes, they are. And so they have the little spikes around their base that pop out to hurt you. So if you just put a bomb, you throw a bomb next to them and then walk up to them to activate them, the spikes will pop out. It will set the bomb off, and then they die. So they just don't even move at that point.
Yeah. But I do need to talk about, since we helped out Gongoron, the Goron child, we get to play as him now. We can switch at any time, basically. As long as he's on the same floor as us, we can hit a button at the top and switch between him and us. The way he controls is interesting, because he's always rolling, and if you get enough speed, he will just do damage then. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't take long to get speed in there because you're in a cramped space anyway. It'd be really annoying if you never had enough runway to actually get enough speed for that. But then if you tap on things, he'll do like a jumping attack kind of thing that just smashes him. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, that took me a second.
Yeah, it took me a second to figure out because I started rolling and I was like knocking over, like destroying boulders. So I was like, okay, that's just his attack. He just sonic spins at the enemies.
Yeah. Right.
And it was like, well, is there an easier way to do this so I don't have to just spin around? And
you mean the homing sonic attack?
Was spin dash homing attack?
The homing attack from the 3D ones. Is that kind of what you're looking for here?
Because
that's totally what
it
is. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Although it looks more like his move in Smash. He does the thing where he goes like straight up and straight back down again.
Yeah.
Like that's kind of like the movie does. Anyway, we also get introduced to another new enemy, the Eye Brute. It's a big Cyclops guy that you got to shoot with an arrow to stun him, and then you can hit him with your sword. They're annoying.
And he looks like a bomb and throws bombs.
He does kind of look like a bomb. Yeah, I'll give you that.
And because they've got like a little wick as like a ponytail on their head. Also, they have one eye, and you shoot them with an arrow, and that arrow is just sticking out of their face while they're stunned. It's brutal, man.
So we have a number of puzzles that are going back and forth with Gongoron, where he can do one thing on one side, we do something on the other. Sometimes it's hitting switches. Sometimes it's killing enemies. Gongor can also, if he gets enough speed, he can also jump longer gaps too. There's a part that you have to do that where you do have to like go back a little bit and then sort of have a running jump over to reach the other side. So I thought that was pretty cool. I would play a spinoff game with this control that was just like an action game with him where you're like rolling around and jumping on things. Like it just reminds me of like some kind of Kirby game or something like that. Mm-hmm. Like the Canvas Curse game or whatever it was, where you're like drawing your lines to roll around. But we do eventually get the bomb chew bag. We get a big treasure chest with the bomb chews in them. And then they're also like, they do it where like, hey, you got a bomb chew. Also, you got a bag, but we're not going to show you the bag. You're just holding a bomb chew.
Mm-hmm. If you want to see the bag, you can go to the store afterward. It looks horrible.
Oh, there is? Okay, I need to go buy one.
The model for the bag is really sad.
So the bomb chews are interesting.
Yes, probably the best bomb chews have ever been.
Because we have full control over them. When you do it, everything stops, including enemies. You don't have to worry about like, okay, I'm in boomerang mode and I got to do it real quick. Mm-hmm. Everything freezes.
It drops the map down.
Yeah, and you can actually draw in like squares. That you can see the arrow saying like where you're gonna go, and you can draw it through all these little things. Now, I didn't realize this at first. After you let it go, if you touch the screen, you'll bring Link back up, and you can move around freely while it's doing that. We will have to do that with a puzzle later.
A couple.
I was really stuck to be like, what am I supposed to do right now? Like, I can't hit these two switches at once. I know I'm supposed to send a bomb to you here, but what am I supposed to do? Not realizing, like, okay, if I touch the screen, I get control back. Mm-hmm. So I can send the bomb to you on its way, and as soon as it hits the switch, I can hit it with my sword.
They do sort of pipe up at some point to be like, hey, just so you know, you can walk around while the bomb chew's going. Mm-hmm. I forget. I don't know if it's gone Goron or I forget who does it, but yeah.
And yeah, I mean, there's a few. Were there any other notable puzzles in this before we get to the boss?
I have one big piece of commentary for this dungeon as a whole, but it can wait till we talk about the boss.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Fair. Yes.
Yeah, it's fine. I mean, none of these dungeons are fantastic by any means, but yeah, you know, I mean, the combo, you know, two people solving puzzles dungeon thing, it was fun. It's fine.
Mm-hmm.
It's still a Phantom Hourglass dungeon, so it's not that great.
So we go and we get a key at some point, and this we have the longest path so far from where we get the key to take it to the boss block. And this is where, you know, I was dreading it, even though we didn't have to, like, deal with enemies necessarily in our way. It just took a long time.
Yeah.
Like, why do we need to carry it? I don't understand. Like, could they literally not hold it in the memory of the game or something like that? Like, having two different style of keys or something? No. They were like, oh, this will be fun, right? Like, this will add more to it. This adds more to the world. And it's like, oh, it adds more.
Oh.
It's not anything good, but it adds more.
It's not a value add, you should say. Yeah.
So we get into the boss. There's a point where Gongoron leaves us, and we're just sort of like, oh, okay.
It's like, I found a hole.
See you on the other side. It's like, I found a hole. I'm going to climb in it. And it's like, why? Stop.
See you over there later. I'll see you later soon.
And we don't see him until we get to the boss, and he just pops out of a little hole. And this is Dongor. Wait.
This one's good.
this is Dongorongo.
Dordongagorgorgorgongo.
And it's a Dodongo-like kind of thing. And the way this one works, oh boy. So Link is at the bottom of the screen, and there is some quicksand keeping us from the actual creature itself. Gongoron's on the other side, and he pops out the hole, and he's like, oh, hey, can I help? And what you can do is you need to keep certain enemies busy while you're not controlling the others. And at any moment, it will say, like, hey, they need help at the top.
Yeah.
I got to the point where I'm like, every 3 seconds it was saying I needed to switch to another person to help them. And I was like, this is infuriating.
Well, they give you a second with Gongoron, because they're the same enemies. They start up there and then they go down to Link. And so if you're Gongoron, you can kill them before they get to Link, and then you have to switch to Link. Don't stay on one of them for too long.
My big criticism of this whole thing, which is, like, I feel like Phantom Hourglass, like, the bosses have generally been more creative than the dungeons themselves.
Yeah.
And this whole dungeon, I was like, oh, okay, you're controlling two characters. Like, as soon as, like, we went into the dungeon with Dongoron, I was worried it was going to be a Princess Rudo moment. Where we're just carrying him around and dropping him on switches, but we actually get to use him. And
would they really do that back to back to us? They'd have the four sisters and then another escort mission with one Goron.
Yeah.
Yeah, they'd do it. You know they would.
Yeah, they would.
But the thing that irks me about this is this could have been Tetra. Like, this is the opportunity for this game to you rescue Tetra. And now you're going through each dungeon in tandem with whatever Tetra's abilities are, which I think would be cool.
Let me tell you about Spirit Tracks.
Ooh.
Yeah.
But still no.
But But no, but yeah. So yeah, that's why I was like, I was kind of holding my finger up like, yes, you're right. And then also there's a sequel to this game, which sort of, yeah.
Yeah. But
more okay. Tetra at all times, please. I agree with you.
In the game that we're actually playing now, though, we are fighting with Gongoron. And what needs to happen is you need to wait until the Dongorongongogo is
Sahasrara.
He will charge at you and stun himself. And then you need to bash his side to knock him over.
And you don't even have to wait for him to smash into the wall to do this. If you can get him at right time, you can do it. But that took me about 10 minutes to realize that even what I had to do here. I think I died once in this before I figured out what the hell was going on.
When you do knock him over completely, then you were advised to have Lake send a bomb chew at him, specifically into his mouth. Because I sent about four of them at him, not realizing, right, he's a Dodongo. He's got to eat the bomb.
I thought that I was the one that had to hit him in the side with a bomb chew at first. And so I was standing over there driving bomb chews, trying to get it just right to where like the kid was distracting him or as he ran into the wall and then driving a bomb chew at the side. No, you have to get the kid to hit him in the side and then the bomb. So yeah, I was making it more complicated than it needed to be.
So we do that a couple times and then he has been quote unquote defeated. Gongoron is just like, I mean, it wasn't for me.
Once you got it, you got like, yeah, sure. Like, okay, yes. Cool. All right. That was easy. That was all right.
But Gongoron's like, all right, we did it. The door opens and he goes running in and then the door closes right behind him.
Last one there buys the round.
Dongorongo gets back up again. And we have a next phase to fight with him.
He grows a pimple on his back, which at this point, for some reason, we've seen. Okay, so what we've seen of Bellum is an eyeball monster. It's like Helsing Ultimate, basically. He just opens up and he's this big Cthulhu tentacle eyeball monster thing. And so a lot of the enemies have eyeballs on their, like the Dark Nuts have them on their back. Like they show, like that's the weak point because once again, it's Zelda and eyeballs. This thing doesn't grow an eyeball on its back. Just grows a big old blue dot.
Mm-hmm.
Mess up that blue dot.
This turns into a much more traditional fight. We do have to switch our items over from the bomb chews to our regular bombs. There's also bomb flowers around if you wanted to use those, if you happen to really
if
run out of
those. If you need to use those, not if you wanted to, because this sure. area was dropping a lot of bomb chews for us before. They don't drop a lot of regular bombs for you in this arena. So, yeah, if you run out of regular bombs, and you're going to need those bomb flowers.
And, yeah, so we've got another little fight with him. He spits fire at us. If we let him breathe in without chucking a bomb in there, he'll send out a lot of fire that you have to run away from for a little while. Otherwise, he's just shooting fireballs at us that we just got to dodge. Pretty straightforward. It was fine. Just like, you know, mix it up a little bit here. Don't just make it as basic as it has been. We're just like, oh, we figured it out and they killed him and moved on. And they're like, we'll make it a little bit more challenging than that. Once we go through all there, Gongoron's just like, what took you so long? I heard a bunch of noise back there. Is everything okay? And Ciel is just like, yeah, he woke back up, but we took care of him.
It's fine.
But whatever. Then he's like, oh, I'm so sorry. I'm such a failure and all that. And Ciel is like, no, we couldn't have done this without you, which is like true, technically. But he was just a kid just running around having fun. We are a kid running around having fun.
And we have to live with this.
This is our life, man.
We have to live with these memories.
You don't understand the life of an adventure.
The stuff doesn't go away.
So we go through all of that. We get our first pure metal Crimsonine. It is the red Goron one. Do you think we're gonna get a green metal?
I don't know anymore, man.
It was Crimsonine, Aquanine, and what was it, the third one?
Oh yeah, who was the third race that we've got here?
Aranine, like Wind Nine? Not sure.
I don't know.
Green.
Gorons and huh?
If it's the wind, it should be green.
Maybe.
I don't even know what the other race could be. I've only seen Gorons and Zoras, so
we'll see. But first, we're gonna go and find that Aquanine. You can find that in the Temple of Ice. So go do what you gotta do.
Sounds about right.
Collect all the stuff. Go to the temple. Beat it. Get a heart container. Get whatever is waiting for us. And then we will meet back here and talk about it on Chat of the Wild.